Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello everyone. This is Dr. Shirley here on WSCIRO Blog Talk Radio. We are broadcasting live right now, but it will be archived from Stoughton, Massachusetts in New England, specifically Southern New England. And I just want to say hi to everyone. It's been a while since we broadcasted. We actually took some time off from doing this and also from doing Faith Talk Live Prayer. And, right, you know, stay tuned for Faith Talk Live Prayer. After this radio broadcast, we will be going to blog TV, and you can get the link on Facebook. If you become our friend, and you could do it two ways. You can either contact my husband, Jeff Caniff, or Dr. Shirley Caniff. More than likely, it'll be under Dr. Shirley Caniff because under me, that's where, you know, on Faith Talk, on Facebook, I should say, we have the WSTKI TV logo, and usually we do our promos there. So, we'd love to have you, and, you know, we're in the summer months. We're finally getting summer weather. It's amazing that we got past the rain here in New England. We're actually in the El Nino flow from the West Coast. You know, what they got, we got. So, but maybe it was a sign of things to come. We did pray for rain, and we pray for the rain of the Holy Spirit. We've been standing in the gap and doing that, praying for our town and praying for the rain of the Holy Spirit in the New England area, actually down the whole East Coast. And it seems like we're getting our prayers answered. The Lord moves to the spiritual first, and then he seems to precipitate everything through the natural to confirm what he's doing spiritually. So I have my husband here. We are only on one mic, so... when he gestures me to make a point, I will give him the mic instead of him being in another room. So it's just wonderful again to be here. We have approximately 40 minutes of broadcasting time. And I just want to let everyone know, we got U2 tickets. We went to Foxborough Stadium and we got 5 U2 tickets in. You know, we're just anticipating something wonderful happening in U2. September 21st, and then the Lord's been ministering to us about praying for Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys, and we're just doing some research on summer music and how it, you know, some of the lyrics connect to prophecies the Lord spoke to us, and how much he really wants to love his people tenderly and understand that love, and how he's very intimate with us, and how the people, you know, in the 60s, the musicians of the 60s actually tapped into that open heaven. Some, you know, did it through, like, unfortunately, you know, they tapped into the spiritual through the use of drugs. But then, you know, then came the Jesus movement, those who, you know, went from doing drugs to actually worshiping the Lord and giving their lives to Jesus and making Jesus Lord and Savior of their life. And so because of that, it seemed to be a forerunner to what we enjoy now in glory, but the Lord wants to resurrect those same songs, and he really wants to touch the heart of his people, and at the same time use those songs to, like, release new songs from heaven. It's just so wonderful. I'm just so thankful, and the theme of this show today, and we're going to expound on it more on Blog TV, on Faith Talks Live Prayer Blog TV tonight. The theme of this show is going to be gratitude, and the role that gratitude plays in miracles. We're going to see more of it in this up and coming revival, and the Lord's just saying it's just connected to worship, but we need to maintain that attitude of gratitude. And, you know, the Lord's going to be using this, you know, he's going to be moving through gratitude in our prayer life. He's going to be moving through gratitude in our worship of heaven and he's going to release the signs and wonders and heal and miracles from heaven. So, you know, this is what this whole summer is about, cleaning us up and, you know, and perfecting our character. So, you know, moving ourselves out of the way so that we can put on Christ. And it's just so wonderful how he's doing that. And God's just so awesome. Jeff, do you want to say anything about that? And not at the moment? Okay. Well, you nudge, you know, look at me. You can look to me with those big, beautiful blue eyes and just give me a little wink there. Okay. Let me know that you have something to say, because I really value what you have to say. So, because, you know, even though my husband and I were like, we're believers and we're married to each other, we don't have the same gifts. We have a little bit of a different, you know, gift in the prophetic and in the teaching. And it's just, but we call it, but we,
the mannerism of manifestation, how these gifts manifest, are slightly different too.
Yeah, and also our response to what the Lord's doing. Because, first of all, I'm female, and the Lord, you know, in females, we just happen to be more, I don't want to say more because that sounds like competition. We just happen to be receptive to the things of the Spirit as a female in a different way, you know. It's not saying men, you know, are better than women or women are better than men. It's just more like, you know, what we receive is a little bit, and how we receive is a little bit different, but it all points to Jesus. And I appreciate that in my husband, how God made him, because we can compare notes and, you know, we can, you know, and we help each other out. And I hope that this is, you know, encouragement for a lot of married couples that are listening to this right now that are in ministry. So we have about 36 minutes left. And basically, I just wanted to point to some scriptures and then give you a witness about how the Lord performed a miracle when I was interceding for my son a couple of weeks ago, for my older son, who many of you know, you saw the status on Facebook. He's a veteran of the United States Marines. He was a sergeant in his 4 years of service, actually almost six years of service. And he ended up going to Iraq in his last year, but the Lord kept him safe as well as his other troops. And he learned a lot of good things from the military, a lot of discipline. And now he's about ready to graduate with a business degree from the University of Phoenix. He didn't have to go to Arizona to get the degree. They actually have annexes different places throughout the United States. And they have one in Braintree, the Braintree campus here in Massachusetts. So he is going to be graduating a week after the U2 concert. So I was like, I can't be on U2 concert. But it's going to be September 26th, and hopefully he's going to go to the U2 concert too to celebrate, you know. It'll be wonderful. Anyways, I just wanted to go to the scripture regarding when there was a miracle of the loaves and the fishes, okay? And the prayer that Jesus prayed before the miracle happened, it was, like, really awesome. And I just want to, go to it. It's easier to actually pull the scripture, but my husband printed this up for me. So, okay. Okay. Let's see. The 15th. Okay. Let me. All right. I'm just going to just go to the beginning of John 6. Okay. The New Testament. After these things, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they beheld the signs which he did on them that were sick. And Jesus went up into the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Jesus therefore, lifting up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude cometh unto him, saith unto Philip, whence are we to buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he was about to do. Philip answered him, 200 shillings worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that everyone may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. But what are these so among so many? Jesus said, make the people sit down. Okay. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Jesus therefore took the loaves and given thanks. Listen to this. Jesus therefore took the loaves and given thanks. He distributed to them that were set down likewise, also the fishes as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto the disciples, gather up the broken pieces which remain over, that nothing be lost. So there was more than enough, okay? And it was so funny. About 2 weeks ago, after my husband and I had done a ministry where you were in a hospital, New England Sinai Hospital, in our town, we did Eucharistic ministry there. We distributed Eucharist to patients in the hospital. And it's such an honor to be able to do that because we not only distribute the Eucharist, we also pray with the patients as well. And then we go to church, which is not too far from the hospital. And so I just felt like I was in such a place of thanksgiving and gratitude. It was just filling my heart that God allowed us to be able to do this and bless so many people. And then I was thinking about my kids. Usually I think about my kids a lot when I'm at church, and I not only think about them, I pray about them. And usually I pray about very specific things, the things that they would need a breakthrough on naturally. But this time around, I was in such a place of gratitude and celebration. And I was just sitting back, and I was, you know, the Lord brought before me my son, whose birthday was yesterday. He turned 28. Amen. And I want to thank everybody for all the blessings that you've given him on Facebook. He read every single one of them, and he was honored that my friends were thoughtful enough to extend the blessings and thank him for serving the country. So anyways, so what happened was I'm sitting back and my son's being flashed before my eyes, and I'm like, oh, Lord, I just wanted to thank you for Jean-Pierre. Thank you for his life. Thank you for, allowing me to be his mother, and Lord, and just bless him and whatever you have for him to do. You know, just touch him right now. Give him a God encounter. You know, do what you need to do to, like, you know, make yourself known to him. You know, he's just such an awesome person. You're such an awesome God. And thank you. Thank you. And this is like a dialogue that I was having between me and the Father and through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit. And then I just sat back and just, got really into the service. And so what happened was, afterwards, he calls me. My son calls me on the phone. We usually go to the store afterwards and get something nice, he likes, he's 28 years old, but he still loves animal crackers. Don't tell anybody. Teddy Grahams. So anyways, so he was asking me if I can get the Teddy Grahams. Okay.
Good time. Yeah. 7:00 p.m.
And so what happened was, we were at the local grocery store, getting our grocery list together for a Sunday meal and the Teddy Grahams. And he called, this was all at the same time that he called. And he goes, Mom, you're not going to believe this. I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, something awesome just happened. I'm like, really? I just don't know what to say. I'm like, what do you mean you don't know what to say? Tell me. And by this time, he got my undivided attention. When this happens, I know that it's something to do with God. So he goes, where do I begin? He goes, the change that you left on the counter for the laundry? I said, yeah. I said, what about the change? He goes, I said, you could use the change. You don't need to, ask. But then he said, I was about to use the change, but I didn't feel good about it, and I knew that, you know, I was going to use it for snacks. But then I got this, you know, conviction inside of me to let it alone and keep it for what it's intended, you know, the laundry. And then I just got this strong desire to just go for the strawberries. So you went from, like, something sweet in the form of snacks, you know, like processed foods, to strawberries. I'm like, okay, continue. And then he said, and I thought, because I had bought strawberries the day before, I thought those were my strawberies, but I wasn't about ready to say, I have an argument. I just wanted to hear the story. And so he says, I opened the strawberries, and I noticed that there was one particular strawberry that just was not the way that, you know, it didn't look like the other strawberries. I'm like, what was it, what, fuzzy, white, meaning, you know, mold, like both strawberries get. He goes, no, it was, like, really dark, and, you know, like, it was this dark thing that was covering it. And I got really curious. He said, okay. I said, did you throw it out? He goes, well, I brought it up to my face, and then I smelled it. It smelled like chocolate. And I said, really? And then I tasted it. It was like chocolate-covered strawberry. And I said, that's quite odd. There's no chocolate-covered strawberries in that batch, you know? And he goes, I know. He goes, it wasn't in there before. I think this is a chocolate strawberry from heaven. And I'm like, you know, John, you could be right. I said, isn't that awesome how much God loves you, that he knew that you had a craving for something sweet, and you also love chocolate, and you he kind of like snuck up on you and sent you a chocolate strawberry from heaven. And he said it was the biggest strawberry that was in the bunch. I said, when he does things, he does things well. And then the Lord told me to tell him what I, you know, how I was praying. I was at Mass, you know. And so I said, you know, John, I just want to let you know, I was just in a place of, like, exceeding gratitude. It was oozing out of me, and I was just praising the Lord in my heart and just thanking God for your life and what he's ready to do, and, you know, and how, you know, you used him, and how honored I was to be your mother and everything. And I asked him to touch you and to show him how much, you know, show you how much he, you know, he loves you, and give you a God encounter. And then he says, like, you're kidding me. I said, yeah. I said, that's how much he loves you. He gave you a chocolate-covered strawberry from heaven, and all I do is give thanks. And I think God wants to do more of this as the days go on. There's been too much complaining in the body of Christ. It's dried up the river at different points. But, you know, God is so gracious and merciful. Once you repent, you know, the river starts flowing again. But then, you know, just think of all the miracles that have been wasted because of complaining. Okay, so I just want to just encourage people, you know, before this show ends, start thanking God for everything. And if you don't know what to thank God, ask him to put the person in front of you, or, you know, just start thanking him. You know, ask him to put you in a place of gratitude. I think that's where we need to start. You know, we need to ask the Lord. If we don't feel like we're thankful, if we feel, you know, feel like too much of our world is caving in, ask the Lord, okay, to put you in a place of gratitude, all right? That's a good position to be in. And this is, you know, scattered throughout all of Scripture about that. I mean, even in, Jeff, honey, do you have anything I have to say before I go into the next Scripture? Would you like to say something? Really? Well, I'm going to go into the Scripture about the communion, part of the communion where there, you know, we give thanks, and there's a reason. Thanks releases, gratitude releases blessings, and it's not just saying it with mindlessly, you know, the spoken word, although it's the beginning. It's a whole entire being. It's with our whole entire being. It's a kind of rejoicing. And, you know, the joy, it brings in joy. The joy of the Lord is the strength. And it just releases.
The Scripture says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul, and all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And you need to be grateful with that same degree of surrender, that same degree of love that just centers on how gracious God is.
Amen, Jeff, amen. So for people that want to know more about, you know, a scripture and, you know, where does it stem, where, you know, in the in Corinthians, okay, where the Lord, you know, where is it in scripture that the Lord also gives thanks during communion, the communion supper, and Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 24. But I'll start from 17, and we'll just go over all the way down. It says, but in giving you this charge, I praise you not that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. From, first of all, when you come together in church, I hear that divisions exist among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also factions among you, that they that are approved may be made manifest among you. When therefore ye assemble yourselves together, it is not possible to eat the Lord's Supper, for in your eating each one taketh before others his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What have you not houses to eat and drink in, or despise your church or God and put them to shame that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise not. For I received of the Lord that this which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord in the night which he was betrayed took bread. Okay, this is what happened when the Lord took bread, okay? Just like what happened when he multiplied the loaves and the fishes. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So, okay, he gave thanks, all right? He gave thanks, and I really believe that it, the condition of the Lord's heart was of that, of gratitude and thankfulness. And we need to do that. We need to approach anything that we do in ministry. We need to approach our everyday human relationships giving thanks to God for our brother and sister. And, you know, and asking the Lord to bestow upon them blessings. We need to be a people of blessing. We need to be blessing people. Instead of warring people, instead of, even though, you know, we're called to be, we're called into battle, the Lord is the one that wages the battle. We don't need to be battle axes for each other. The Lord can do that on his own. We just have to consent and resign to that. And we can take authority over things, but at the same time, we have to always approach anything that we do for the kingdom of God, okay, in the name of the kingdom, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as we release the kingdom of God upon this earth in a spirit of gratitude, in an attitude of gratitude. It could save our life. It could be the thing that, you know, in a time of famine can bring the bread, the manna from heaven. Okay, so it's really important that we come into this place. And I'm going to give you the, I'm going to give Jeff the mic right now. And talk about what has inspired him in this. You know, you want to say a couple of things, Jeff?
Thank you, Lord. I find that the Lord is just so gracious to me that I occasionally forget that I should be thankful. And when Jesus, at the Last Supper, took the cup, he blessed it, and gave thanks. He took the bread into his hands and he said, and he blessed it and he broke it and gave thanks. So when we talk about communion, we're talking about doing what Jesus did. Now we had 12 people witness this whole thing, and that's been handed down to us in the scriptures. So Jesus was giving thanks to the Father for his upcoming death. And he was preparing the disciples for that final testing because he would be taken away from them in such a horrible manner that Peter would deny him, everybody would run away, and he still gave thanks to the Father for what the Father was having him do. And when we give, and the phrase give thanks is another word of saying a Greek word. I can't, don't remember how to pronounce it in the Greek, but it translates into the anglicized word Eucharist, which has the meaning Greek in the Greek as thanksgiving. And that's a word that's popular to us because we have that national holiday by the same name. So it's Christ's example that we're following when we celebrate the Eucharist or the communion service in the Christian community. And we just need to bow down to God and bend our will to what God is trying to teach us. Bend our hearts towards God's heart and stop being people of our own opinion. That is why there's so much division in Christ, and that's another issue for a later show. Here's Shirley.
Thank you very much, Jeff, for sharing how the Lord's been ministering to you in that, you know, regarding gratitude. Okay, I was prompted to, you know, by the Holy Spirit to search the scriptures while Jeff was given a witness and a confirmation, and I was the Holy Spirit had me back in Luke 1. Okay, let's see. Back in Luke 1, where the angel Gabriel had visited Mary. Okay, and then she goes to Elizabeth, and she, and when the angel had told her something about what was happening to her cousin Elizabeth as well. And so with these God encounters, Mary couldn't help but enter the realm of gratitude because a miracle had been performed. And then she was in the process of witnessing a miracle when she had visited her barren cousin Elizabeth, who was 6 months pregnant. Okay, so I'm just going to read this in, so you can here in Mary's song, and the Catholic Church uses that as a prayer in many of their, you know, liturgy, and much of the liturgy, they have different kinds for different seasons. Okay, it says, the birth of Jesus foretold. In the 6th month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. I mean, could you imagine somebody telling you, an angel coming from heaven, telling you, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. I mean, what does that tell you? You're like, the Father's rejoicing in you, and, you know, and he's put you in a place of prominence, and, you know, it's like, and then it's like, who am I? But at the same time, it's like all of a sudden, like there's a wellspring of gratitude that is flowing because of the miracle that's in progress. Okay? It says right here, Mary was greatly troubled. At first, that's what happened. You become greatly troubled, and then then there's an awe. The awe of God happens. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid. So, you know, lately, I believe it was on John Paul Jackson's Facebook page, he put a quote in there, and many people responded to it based on what they knew of the Lord and their walk with the Lord and what they knew in Scripture to validate. They're saying that, you know, that, you know, something, it was regarding how, you know, I don't have the exact, okay, I don't have the exact saying, but it was in relation to how many people don't put the Lord in the prominent place. I don't want to water it down, but basically I'm just giving you an idea. Because, you know, they, let me just go to it right now. I have time. I'm on the internet. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Better be in a state of gratitude. See? I just want to get this right because I'm quoting somebody. That's what we have to remember when we're doing media ministry, especially in social networking, we want to give respect to those who take the time to present information in the form of teaching, and we need to quote them the right way. I was just sharing this with my son, who's a student. Okay, let's see what I'm trying to say here. What we mean. I just want to make a point. Okay, let's see. Wow. Okay. The quote was, one sign that God has lost his place of deity in our hearts is a lack of the fear of God. Okay. So, many people responded by saying that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And other people were saying, well, if you're a Christian, you had that relationship already, then you want to acknowledge the love relationship. And, it says in another part of Scripture, perfect love casts out all fear. So when the angel came upon Mary, came to Mary, and Holy Spirit came upon her, and she realized she was in a visitation, okay, at first it was a fear, and then it turned into awe. But in that, the angel knew that there could be a strong sense that she was fearing this encounter. So, so in order for peace to set in and an attitude of gratitude to take over, so that, there could be the completion of the miracle and the blessing, the angel spoke and said, do not fear, okay? So Mary was greatly troubled, and he saw this at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. So he had to tell her, don't be afraid. You found favor with God. And so that was enough for her. That's all she needed. And then she was able to enter into the awesome presence of the Lord and just totally be docile to his grace and to what the Lord wanted to use her for in this hour of salvation history. So it says, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are giving him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Well, how shall this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. Okay. The angel answered, all right, he's telling her now that he's got her undivided attention, and now she's in a position to receive because of the attitude of gratitude that is over her, okay? Says, how will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her 6th month. But nothing is impossible with God. Okay, so Mary, as she's hearing this, she's in the position of receiving. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then now she's given her permission. She's consenting her whole entire will over for this awesome miracle to occur. Then the angel left her. Okay, his work was done. So now, all right, it continues. Mary visits Elizabeth. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. Okay, but why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. And so now, all right, Mary is so overwhelmed by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Like the glory is oozing and emanating from her. And, you know, it was so tangible that it caused John the Baptist, which was in the womb of Elizabeth, to leap for joy, okay? All right, you know what we said earlier, the joy of the Lord is our strength, all right? And, you know, even though some of this, they couldn't wrap their heads fully around it, their spirit was revived, and God was doing a mighty work, okay, in his presence. And this was enough for Mary. And then the Lord put this gratitude in her, all right, and she, you know, it was like a song that she had sung out loud after this experience. And I just wanted to release this right now. We have 7 minutes left, and then we're going to, about 8:30, we're going to go into Faith Talks Live Prayer as soon as the team gets here. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name," all right? This is her gratitude. "His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their throne, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich empty away. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be mercy to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he has said to our fathers." So after that, Mary decided to stay with Elizabeth about 3 months and then return home, three months until after the birth of John the Baptist. And then she went home to await the birth of Messiah. And so in this visitation, in this encounter, you know, there's a couple of things that happened. Fear crept in a little bit, and the angel, you know, God sent the angel to just console Mary and said, "Don't fear. You know, you are highly favored." And it just got her into that place of receiving. And, you know, that's where the Lord wants us. This is what the summer is all about, because God is about ready to do mighty things, and he's about ready to release his Holy Spirit in power and in glory in the fall, okay? And we really need to be docile to, you know, this mighty visitation. And there may be, you know, little nuggets of visitation throughout the summer, of visitation, of realization of who we, you know, who we are in him, okay, leading up to the major visitation and things like that. So we have about 5 minutes left, and it was something that I saw. Yeah, and the Lord just brought to my mind something that he had given me as an encounter. And I believe it was 2005 or 2006, of the kind of anointing that's being released. And I thought it had something to do with the Florida outpouring. I believe the Florida outpouring is the beginning of that. And there has been outpouring in different parts of the world. But it's still happening. You know, the stream is still unfolding. You know, things that you get from the Lord have multiple layers to it anyways. And I was in my bed in my natural life, and I was between sleep and awake. That's the place where I had vision. And all of a sudden, the Lord brought me to a place in my house where I did a lot of office work. I spent a season doing office work and administration, and that was right around that time. But he showed me that a time was coming where it was going to change, and he opened up a wall. And when he opened up the wall, there was a bay, and it was likened to a bay called Onset Bay, which exists in the natural. Onset Bay and Onset Mass, which is Onset Wareham Mass. My friends live there. They have a ministry out there. And so what happened was, we have 3 minutes left. I'm just going to go fast with this. But there was a wind that was it was blowing over the waters, and there was different people representing different prophetic memories, different prophetic ministries sprinkled like somewhere on the coast or the shoreline of that of the bay. Some were, in different parts of the bay, just waiting for something. They didn't know what they were waiting, but then the waves picked up, and you usually do not have waves on the bay because it's on the quiet side, of the ocean. And so the winds were picking up, and all of a sudden, I'm feeling like a vacuum, like situation about ready to happen, and I have a hand on the filing cabinet in my office, and at the same time, a hand, which was the hand of God, was trying to push me into the water to jump in and get in, and I didn't want to because it was so powerful, and I'm like, I don't know, Lord, if this is from you, if this is you, show me. But the power was a surge of his presence. And there were people, when the gush was happening, they were like, people were taken by surprise, and they were like, woo! Some of them just were so overwhelmed. I mean, they did finally go with it. But it was more than a wave, it was a gush, okay? It was just overtaking everybody. And then I was like, I moved away from that, side, because I don't want to, I was ready to get wet, and then all of a sudden the Lord tapped me on his shoulder. I'm in the middle of my living room away from the scene, and all of a sudden water started coming into the house, and the gusher was coming around me, and next thing you know, it's like overtaking me, and all of a sudden I'm looking, and we have 1 minute left. I'm looking up, and I've seen all the strongholds that were around me go. And I was able to breathe out of the water, the gushing, and the Lord said, don't worry, this is of me. And then I just went for it, and I was able to breathe under the water. There was more oxygen in the water than there was air in the natural. And the Lord just, he did what he needed to do. And I believe we're in that time period just before that actually happened. So, Lord, I just ask right now that you would release the gusher anointing right now to those who are listening to the radio, that you would prepare their hearts. We have about 80 seconds left. You would prepare their hearts. They will be open. And Lord, you would release from heaven a spirit of gratitude so that they would not grieve the Holy Spirit or offend the Holy Spirit. And Lord, that you would perfect the words of their mouth. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jeff, say something.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We give you thanks. We praise you, Lord. We just ask you to teach us how to stand firm in our individual choices we have to make, Lord, and turning away from ungrateful fear and unholy fear to reverential, awesome, awestruck fear, Lord, and to be in that awestruck fear, to be full of gratitude and thanks, because you are the source of all life and the source of all blessing, and we thank you for being that, Lord, and thank you for sending such a wonderful Redeemer to buy us back from the enemy so we could be at liberty to be grateful in our expressions to you and to your body. Amen.
So we ask that you just tune in to Faith Talks Live Prayer Blog TV. We will have a link on Facebook and Twitter. God bless you. We got 3, 2, 1 second, and we are off.